now, In Conversation with the Sunday Independent's Barry Egan, Radio Nova.
This is Barry Egan on Radio Nova, and tonight my guest is Catherine Lynch, star of RTE and singer.
Yeah.
Catherine, how long have you been singing for?
Well, this is my first adventure singing. It's my debut album. It's called Settling Dust. And thanks for having me, Barry. It's great to be here. I have been singing all my life, really,
yeah.
I suppose.
What age were you when you first sang?
When I first sang, I suppose, my uncle, actually, it's funny you ask that. And my uncle was Frank Sweeney. He wrote this song called The Offaly Rover.
Yeah.
And then my granduncle is Patrick Kavanagh, who's...
What's a granduncle?
A granduncle is my grandmother and I...
Yeah.
No, my grandmother and he were brother and sister.
Yeah.
So there was two songs for family members that myself and my sister used to have to learn, and that was The Offaly Rover and Raglan Road. So at every family party, there would have to be a rendition of that. And then when I became a teenager, I hated both of those songs for a while. Of course, I've regained my love for them now. But
does it kind of surprise you? I'm not surprised, but like how hip he is now. Like, you know, I actually have a big book of his poetry, and
and
all the stories of him, you know, being barred from him and going out with Ronnie Drew, and
I know.
You know, they said we'll go here, and we said no. Ronnie would say, oh, I can't go there, and then. Patrick would say we'll go there, and he's like, no, I can't go there because I'm barred out of there.
My God, yeah, it sounds like my life.
Have you been barred from any pubs in your life?
I was barred from the Foggy Dew, would you believe? It was during the times of Mr. Pussy, actually. Do you remember Mr. Pussy?
Yeah.
He used to
on
the
Suffolk
drag
Street.
Queen in the Clarence, in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I was doing the flyers for Joe Candy. It wasn't Mr. Pussy, it was Candy and Pussy, but I was doing the flyers for Candy. And I went into the Foggy Dew and I was giving out the flyers, and the guy came over to me and he says, no, we have new laws. There's new drinking laws now. We open till 1:30. You can't do flyers. And I went, oh, please. And I said, I get paid for doing this. And he says, no, get out. And I went, please. And he wouldn't let me. So I said, you know what? If you treat people like dogs, they're going to act like dogs. So I got down on all fours and started barking. So I was barred for life because he went so red. I thought
even
he was going to burst.
Even now that you're famous.
Even now that I'm famous, yeah. I think I'm barred from the front lounge as well.
What were you barred from the front lounge?
I was barred because I used to do a cabaret act there, and the guy wasn't very nice to me. And so I gathered a few of us for a drink one night, and I told him, I said I wanted to give him something that I owed him, and he thought it was like thanks and all that. So I gave him an envelope with nothing in it and walked out. So he said, she's not allowed in here again. I suppose I'm a bit of a punk, which people might see.
And did you like that? What kind of music did you like growing up?
Growing up, I was...
Leitrim?
In Leitrim, yeah. Growing up, I loved Bob Dylan, Waits, Leonard Cohen, all those kind of dudes that the rest of my friends would go, they're too old-fashioned, but I just loved the poetry. I suppose it was the connection. Poetry in my house was a big thing.
Yeah, so was that your own kind of poetry?
Yeah.
Was it took you years later to realise that Patrick Kavanagh was probably the same, you know?
Yeah, I all suppose they
from
were
the same
kind
cloth.
Of... The dudes at the time, really, weren't they? They were like the rock and rollers at the time when you think of PJ Dunleavy and Kavanagh and Michael Hartnett and John Montague and all those people, like, were rock and roll. The poetry was...
What was your favourite Tom Waits album? Waiting
with,
Time?
Closing Time is my favourite. Like, some of his more recent kind of avant-garde stuff I love, you know. His last concert was amazing. It was like Beckett. It was really theatrical. Fantastic. So I couldn't actually name too many of the songs off the new album because it's kind of like a big piece of theatre, really.
It's like a big stew, isn't it?
Isn't it? It really is.
Yeah.
And Leonard Cohen, anything Leonard Cohen does, I love. And Bob Dylan, I love everything from Saved, even, you know, which is his religious
is,
album.
Yeah.
So that kind of, I love, you know, Janis Ian, Janis Joplin, Dolores Keane, anyone that has kind of that gritty poetry in their voice and in their kind of delivery.
A bit of authenticity.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so that's the kind of music I like. And then, of course, I like to go to a good rave.
Tell us a bit about this album. Where did this idea come from?
The album came from 2 years ago. My dad passed away, and I was in Vicar Street at the time, and I was at the height of comedy. I was after doing 16, sellout gigs in Vicar Street, and my show was on in a couple of weeks. And 3 days after my father was buried, I was on the Vicar Street stage.
That was Tom, wasn't it?
Tom Lynch. Yeah, was my.
What age was he when he passed?
He was 72 when he passed.
Yeah.
And it's always too early when you love somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And 72 is young now. I was on the stage in Vicar Street, and I was just so not connected to the comedy. And I had a broken heart, obviously, you know. And Keith from Crash Records, you just met him there, he brought you in the album. And Keith met me after the show, and he says, "You have some voice as singer Bernie Walsh." And I went, "Oh, yeah, right." And I sing kind of in a falsetto for her. And he said, "Have you ever considered doing any serious work, serious songs?" And I went, "It's really strange that you should say that." And it was 3 days my dad had passed, and I felt his presence, and I was thinking, he's after doing this, you know. So
it's like the song on the album where he was, your mother had a dream about your father, almost waiting to bring her to a dance.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of moment where that they're not gone yet. It was in the twilight.
Is your mum still around? Yeah,
my mum's still around, and she's brilliant, and she's in great form.
And does she think that she's, when she gets up there, he'll be waiting to bring her to a dance, kind of thing?
Well, you know what? She's a little bit less. My mother is so cool. She's so much cooler than me. She'll go, "How do you know there's an afterlife, Catherine?" And I'll go, "Oh, mum, there is. Please, there has to be." And she'll go, "Oh, I don't know. Scientifically, I don't get it, but maybe kind of spiritually, I do." And she's a really cool woman. I came into the kitchen the other night, and I was at home in Leitrim, and I went, "What are you doing?" And she says, "Oh," and she was watching some late night show, and she says, "I'm just going to watch REM are in Colorado. I've seen this gig before. It's really good."
She's watching Sky Arts.
So she's a really cool woman. So she changes her mind.
So did she turn you on to good music then?
She turned me on to good music. Her good music was very country based, and she liked
Emily Harris and
Taylor. Amy Lou Harris. So she liked Glenn Campbell and people like like she'd love all the Women's Heart. The Woman's Heart album, like, was a big thing when I was growing up. She had that album, and it was played over and over and over. It was in the times where a good hard copy, which I've asked my record company, "I want a hard copy of my album," which I have.
Vinyl or this?
Yeah. Oh, I'd love vinyl. But so she's a cool woman, but she does believe in an afterlife, I think. And she told me, she's very private, and she told me that song that you're talking about, it's called The Twilight, it's called Maureen's Song. And she told me a few weeks after my dad had passed that she had a dream. And I was like, "Oh, she never tells me anything like that." So I clung on to it and wrote a song. And it's called Twilight Romance. And it was, for me, kind of that in the whole kind of idea of eternal life, that when somebody passes that you love, you know, it's basically that they're just gone on ahead of you and they're waiting for you.
Have you dreamt about your dad?
I have only had positive dreams, and I'm very young in the dreams, and he's a young man.
Because I wonder,
as well,
with dreams, are you seeing him, or is it a dream, or is he there?
Yeah.
You know, how do you know?
You don't know.
Is he appearing in your head, or is it a dream that he's appearing in your head?
Yeah, or are we all in a state of dream most of the time, and is dream reality?
Do sheep dream of sheep, you know, kind of way?
Do sheep count humans jumping over fences when they're going to sleep?
But there's a lot of pain on this album.
There is a lot of pain.
Heartbreak, there's loss.
I just was a little bit too romantic. I thought everyone was nice when I was a teenager. I thought the world was beautiful. I thought
it's like,
you know,
a Disney movie.
Like a Disney,
it's a David Lynch movie.
I lived in Leitrim. I lived on the house in the prairie. My dad was Charles Ingalls. My mother was whatever her name was. My sister's name actually was Mary, and I was half pint. And we had lived on a farm, and we had this wonderful time. And when I came to Dublin, I had another wonderful time. I all the people I met were wonderful.
Did you think Dublin boys were exotic?
I thought they were really exotic.
The accent?
Yeah. I used to often see you floating around with your big long head of red hair.
It was a wig I used to hire just for the weekends.
You still have it, Barry. I'm a type of person who's in love with life.
Did you go to loads of gigs?
Went to loads of gigs, yeah. Well, like, when I came to Dublin first, I stalked this guy called Gar Cox, who remains my friend. And there was a very disappointing heartache day when he told me he was actually gay, and I was like, "No,
is he out? I hope he's out."
Yeah, he's out. Of course, he's out, and he gets a credit on the album. Actually, ironically, you speak of him because he still remains my favourite artist. I go to all his gigs. He's unsigned as of yet, but I don't think there's going to be much. It won't be much longer before he is, and so he has always kind of given me a great. Rootsy kind of feel to music, so I go to gigs. And
what was the last gig you've been to?
The last gig I've been to was I was at a gig in the Maze on Thursday night. I can't remember the band, but and I was at Gar's gig the night before that.
Apart from Gar's gig, anyone bigger have you? Who was recently?
The last gig I was at was probably Mick Flannery in Vicar Street, and then John Spillane in Christchurch. I was at John Spillane and Pauline Scanlon and all those people from Stormochree, which was like just magic, and that was in Christchurch. So that was probably, yeah, that's only a few weeks ago. So I'm constantly going to gigs, but I'm one of those meanderers, you know, so all who meander aren't lost.
Did you go and see Slash? Because you live in Temple Bar.
I did not go and see Slash.
You could have got off with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, I probably would have. Charlie Sheen, if I had, you know,
His father looks younger than him now. I don't know whatever he's doing to his face.
Oh my God, poor Charlie is a victim of fame, isn't he? He really is.
A victim of his own namesake, Charlie.
Oh my God, he's not very Sheen. He should polish himself a bit. But having said that, he's really funny, and I hope that he's not in turmoil or something.
Yeah, I'm only joking. I hope he's in a good place.
Yeah, because he is mad.
Do you like rock?
I don't particularly like rock, no. I prefer...
Joni Mitchell.
And, well, she can rock it out sometimes too, but I prefer quieter people. You know, I love... I really do love people like John Spillane, like Mick Flannery. I love Damien Dempsey. I like all our Irish poets now who put it all to music. Sinead is just... She is the most magic singer in the world at times.
When you're doing your comedy years ago and you're doing singers, how do you find your own voice?
My own voice again. Well, my own voice is kind of very low, and it's kind of it's very much like a speaking voice. The songs I write are originally poems, and then I kind of present them with music. And how I do it is that I write the poem, the song first, because there is a distinction between song and poem, you know. But originally write a poem, and then I change it to a song, and then I bring it to this wonderful friend of mine called Pav the Fiddler, if anyone wants to look him up. And he's a piano player as well. He's a fiddle player, piano player, mandolin player. He you name it, he plays it.
He's a bit talented.
Yeah, he's so talented. He's like a little walking orchestra. So what I do is I bring the song and the melody in my head to him, and we mess with it on the piano, and then when we're finished that, I bring it to Paul Murphy, who's the dude, and he works with the Electric Penguins. He's in the band with Electric Penguins, who are really cool, and so he kind of tailors the whole thing and puts in the good production, and then we say, Keith, will you put this on an album? And yes.
So will you be doing gigs to promote this album?
Yeah, definitely.
I think you said what it's called. It's called Settling Dust.
For the same
Will you
reason.
Do Vicar Street or something like that?
We'll do Vicar Street. I'd rather do a smaller venue first.
I've got to start small and get bigger as opposed to start big.
Yeah, because it's a new adventure, and it's a new career. And it's like, I did the Saturday Night Show last Saturday.
Yeah.
And just before the curtain went up, I went, oh my God, this is the first time I'm performing live. And I'm going to go out to 500,000 people. What am I doing? And then the curtain came up, and I genuinely was very nervous.
Yeah.
But
adrenaline is good.
Yeah,
though,
the adrenaline is great. And then we had a good old chat with Brendan. He was good crack. And but it's that sort of thing. I love throwing myself in the deep end.
Are you conscious of people thinking, oh, that's your woman from Wagon's Den?
Totally, yeah, because they are going to think that. But I am the woman from Wagon's Den, and I am the girl who's going to be in the...
But you impersonate the woman from Wagon's Den. I remember I met you out, actually, on Brendan's show one night, and when you arrived, I thought, oh, God, there's your woman from Wagon's Den. And then when I spoke to you, you weren't the woman from Wagon's Den. You're the woman who impersonates the woman from Wagon's Den.
Well, thank you very much, Barry. That's the first. That's an exclusive.
But it's true, though.
Yeah, but I must do it very well, because people don't get that, you know.
But, like, you're not... I mean, you're not nothing like her.
Yeah, and that's good, because... But I do love her, and somebody needs to represent Cuspid Society women, because they're not represented that much. You know, you see all the... Like, I represent a traveller, I represent a closet lesbian who's so closeted she doesn't even know she's lesbian. That's
Liz
Hurley.
She's married.
Yeah. She's just married. I love it. And then I...
Or a closet homosexual, like a guard from Limerick or something, you know.
Up your bayah. And, I don't mind doing that, because I'm quite centred as myself, which is really strange.
Who is...
Myself is someone...
If you don't mind me slipping into psychologist mode.
Myself is someone who's quite human, I hope, and someone who's quite... I hate when celebrities start saying they're shy, or they're this, or they're introverted, or they're that. I suppose I'm just... I really feel I'm just quite human, or I hope I'm quite human. And I hope that I have empathy, and I have all those things that make up a human. And I hope that... That people realise that Sheila is just this disgruntled lady from Dublin. I wouldn't say lady too generously. That you know the
is she a bit of you?
She
Oh, is she a bit of all women?
She's a bit of all women, and she's a bit of all of us flicking through a magazine at home going, oh, for God's sake, the state of her, the hack of her, it's girl of her, she's in bits, she's gorgeous, she's this, she's, you know.
Do you, I mean, I don't sound homophobic, but do you sort of improvise it with some gay friends in script meetings or something like that?
In script meetings.
Because some of the
well,
terminology.
I honed whatever craft it is and on the gay scene. So, yeah, you're probably right there. But I don't particularly go in and...
I'm sure it's not a community that wants to be patronised either,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because there's as many different gay men as there are heterosexual
exactly.
men.
You know,
I wouldn't interview Bono as a heterosexual singer. If I had the Pet Shop Boys in, I'd probably ask them about
being gay.
So there you go, that whether we're out, even knowing it, you know, it just emerges. We're all a little bit...
There you go. That was one of my first presents ever. My mother bought me the Pet Shop Boys album, and I went, "Who are they?" And she goes, "Oh, they're really cool. Listen."
Did you think it was about Leitrim? This is the place I've waited years to
leave. At the time, she was trying to wean me off Larry Cunningham.
Was that a man?
No, that's a singer. You're too cool to know who Larry Cunningham is.
And how far will you bring this? Is it just testing the water? I mean, if it's successful, can you do the other stuff and do this?
Yeah, well, I suppose there are lots of people who look at Maria Doyle Kennedy can be in the Tudors one day and she can be on Vicar Street stage another day. There's wonderful women that I admire can do both, like Mary Coughlan can do both. She's been in movies. Sinead can do both. Most Irish women can multitask.
So do you see it as acting then?
I see it as a performing, yeah. And I think I'm a performer more so than I'm anything. I like to bring people in. I like the magic of having everyone in the room.
Who would be your ideal show if you could do, say, a chat show as yourself? I mean, like, would you be wanting to have the likes of Joni Mitchell and Nina Simone and people like that?
That would have to be in heaven.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Anyone. That's why I said anyone. Janis Joplin.
Oh, wow. Yeah, an ideal chat show would be... some of them would have to be alive, though. You know, I think the ideal one would be Jack Nicholson, Bob Dylan, and...
It wouldn't be very chatty with Bob. He'd just be mumbling into his sleeves.
No, I'd get him to talk. I know I would. Bob and I go
Tom
way
Scruise.
Back. Yeah, he talks to me.
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson
looked
a bit
rough at the Oscars, didn't he?
Oh, he did, but God. I still would.
That's if he could find it under that bad suit. And
oh, I don't think so. I think we'd still have fun. But I can't believe I said that. I have a big thing about Jack Nicholson. But yeah, who else? The third person.
Oh, I'd
put Margaret Thatcher on it as well, just so that I'd have a word with her. I watched that movie, Margaret Thatcher, or The Iron Lady. God,
did you think Daniel Day-Lewis was funny what he said, or do you think it was lost on most of the Americans?
I didn't hear what he said. What did he
say? You know, on the Oscars, Meryl Streep introduced him.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that Spielberg, they're originally going to swap roles. That he was going to play Thatcher and she was going to do Lincoln. But in the end, it didn't work out.
Oh, I didn't hear that bit in the Oscar. I watched most of it, but we had an Oscars party, so I must have been head in the punch at that stage.
Exactly. So are you in a relationship now?
I'm not in a relationship, but I'm not in a relationship either, so...
What does that mean? You just got loads of...
It means that I'm dating instead of...
That sounds very LA.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, I spent 3 months in New York and it kind of woke me up to the way we act in Ireland. It's like...
What's wrong with the way we act in Ireland? Do you think if you go out with someone a few times, you're going out with them?
Yeah, no, it's not only that. It's basically we go out, we get trashed, and then we have the nerve to ask each other out on a date.
Or you wake up in bed, on top of somebody, like, actually, sorry, have we been introduced?
Well, I feel
actually,
really...
I'm carrying your baby.
There you go. I actually felt sorry for that guy in South Africa. Because
oh please,
I didn't feel sorry for him. But there was one stage years ago in my late 20s where I woke up in the morning and there was somebody in my bathroom, and I was like, "Who's that?"
You had Pistorius in your bathroom.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
You would rather shoot yourself.
Actually, but I went to the kitchen and got a knife, and I went towards the bathroom with the knife like that. I went, "Who's there? Who's there?" And your man opened the door and he says, "I was with you last night." And I went, "Oh shit! Okay, sorry. I'll put this knife back."
You better just say these are all jokes. I don't
They're not. But I thought somebody had raided the house. So, yeah, things like that can happen. I can't believe, Barry, I told you that.
So do knives do it for you then? Well, it could have been Edward Scissorhands. No, that would have been you. Edwina Scissorhands.
Edwina Scissorhands and the way she might look at you.
What are the influences on this album?
I mean,
I should have said on this interview.
Influence on the album. I don't know. I think relationships and loss and Dublin and profound sadness and melancholy.
How much fun am I?
Yeah.
What are you like with a hangover?
I get the fear. But I'm also, I want to wave the flag for it to be okay to get sad sometimes and it's okay to be melancholy. We're in a very strange place where anxiety takes over everything and we all decide that we need to maybe get rid of our anxiety, take a tablet, do this. People need to leave space in their lives to get sad about the things they should get sad about, to get melancholy about the things they should get melancholy about and not label everything. You know, so it doesn't mean I'm not laughing through it, but there are moments when, you know, something as profound as a beautiful relationship breaks up or a father passes away, that you are in.
You take time to take
stock. Time, and you're not human if you don't, you know.
Yeah.
So, having said that, I haven't said a lot at this stage.
The woman who can't shut up. Did your father ever tell you that you like the sound of your own voice?
Yeah.
What's your mother? It was like, Maureen, does that woman ever shut up? Are you sure she's ours?
Exactly. I wonder sometimes.
Well, your father was a farmer.
My father was a farmer, an agricultural advisor, actually. And
was that like a posh word for farm? You know, you meet some girls and their secretaries and they're like, they're assistant something or other instead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not really, because he worked for the department. And he was a Kerry man, and himself and his brother Sean got sent from UCG. They went to college and all that, which was a very good thing in their generation. And they were sent from UCG Agricultural College to Leitrim. It must have been the equivalent of being sent to the laundries, because the land was horrific. And
because I always think of like the Midlands as being like Nebraska or something.
I know.
Bruce Springsteen, Darkness on the Edge of Town, you know, like her.
And can you imagine then, they were sent there in the 70s, you know, so it must have been pretty bleak.
They'd give anything for a recession now.
Yeah, totally. And so they were sent there, and he became, well, like when he passed away at his funeral, there was about 3,000 people at it, and most of them were farmers. So he would have been the man you come to for the grants for, you know, or to help you to build a shed or to help build up your you know, the headage, the drainage system in Ireland in the 80s. He would have been involved in that, making land better and all that. So he would have been very sad to see the way farming went, you know. And he was a farmer himself, and a lot of my memories.
I was going to ask you, are you good with your hands? But then that would probably lead into another depraved story of involving knives and some guy who just woke up.
Bold.
What about music? When you go home, Temple Bar, I won't say where you live, in case there's psychos out there looking for a place to have a woman draw a knife on them. what kind of stuff do you listen to?
I love Bat for Lashes at the moment. Love her. I listen.
She's a bit kooky, isn't she?
She's very kooky. She reminds me of a young Sinead O'Connor. She reminds me of kind of like Sinead in that pop era where she...
Kate Bush.
Kate Bush, Sinead, that type of thing. I love her at the moment. That's who I'm addicted to at the moment.
What was that? The last album, it was brilliant. What was it called?
Golden Fur.
No, but it's something close.
Something involving fur. When you download them, you forget what the.
Hope you're downloading legally.
Yeah. I am. No, not downloading. Actually, buying them on iTunes. And then who else am I listening to? I listen to Mick Flannery a lot. I listen to, because he's lovely and sad. And I love Empire of the Sun. Do you like them? I love them. It's kind of dancey.
Yeah. Do you dance around your flat?
Dance around my flat, yeah.
Do you have a roof garden?
I'm on the top floor, which is in the boom would have been recognised as the penthouse, but it's far from the penthouse.
What's your square footage?
Me square footage? What's yours, Barry?
That'd be telling.
Square footage, I think it's 80 square foot. Is that 800?
It's like a bloody communist. That's like the size of your CD.
I stand up asleep.
Yeah.
800.
You have a rope in your living room, you high over it.
I think it's 800. It's not too big. It's a duplex, though, so it's two bedrooms downstairs and a nice open space upstairs, but it's gorgeous.
And do you have Catherine Lynch groupies?
I have even bunches of kids outside who I can't go outside the door and they're all screaming.
Really? They know where you live?
Well, no, they see me pass by, they don't know where I live. But I actually asked them the other night, I said, you know, every time I pass by, because I said I'm always forgetting things in the shop, so every time I pass by, do you have to say hello to me every time and scream at me? And they were dying laughing because I said it in a nice way. So the next time I pass by, they
went, is that because they think you're Sheila Sheik?
Yeah, they think I'm Sheila Sheik, and kids love it because it's bold. You know, it's they love bold comedy, you know, and... They're like, ah, Sheila Dahagia, and I said Dahagia, and then they're all dying off, and that's it.
So do you still listen to the albums you listened to when you were younger, the Bob Dylans and the Leonard Cohen and Tom Waits?
Yeah, I do, yeah. And
do you find that sad? Because it reminds me of your youth and your father.
No, because my youth wasn't sad, and yeah, and my memories of my father aren't sad. And
but I just thought that he's no longer around.
Yeah, well, I think we turned a corner there about a week ago. Like, it was 2 year anniversary, and I promised I'd just kind of try and give myself time to mourn. And I have this philosophy where if you mourn too much about those people you love, that it's nearly an insult, you know. So you have to nearly let
them
go.
You become maudlin.
And you become maudlin, and you become whatever, and boring, and you know. And there's so much life to be had and to be living, do you know what I mean?
Do you be loving the living and the life
and I enjoy life, and I think that you have to go through, you can't enjoy life 100% of the time all
but
the
time. But you can if you're on Prozac.
Yeah. You can if you're on Prozac, yeah. Well, that's kind
and
of
Medicaid,
the point.
Yeah, and Xanax and everything else.
God, there's so much of that going on, you know, because even when I was feeling down, I was thinking, oh my God, you know, and people I would talk to, my friends and stuff, and say, well, I'm on a such and such, or I'm on a such and such. And I was shocked to hear this.
I mean, I'm not making fun of these people. Yeah. I'm just saying, I was trying to make a joke, but you know, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's better just to feel the pain as opposed to block it.
Yeah, because it's got to come out. Don't block it, but some people get so into, sometimes they feel the pain and then they get too far into it, and then it's a necessity, but it's not always a necessity. And I think in Ireland, they're too quick to dole out, you know, bandages in the forms of tablets. And there's lots of wounds we all need to go through as human beings, and you just need not to bandage them all. Some of them just heal with the lovely air around you.
So are you almost healed?
When one wound heals,
another one
bloody opens.
That's
I bet
the nature
you.
Of being a human being, isn't it?
I think, and if you wear your heart in your sleeve, and if you if you live vicariously, is that the right word? If you live vivaciously, yeah. Or if you live...
Have you been eating the thesaurus at night?
I wish.
When can people look forward to seeing Catherine Lynch live?
Well, I'm going to be probably live in a small venue, and I'm thinking Bewley's Cafe, but the album is only out, and we yet haven't, as most artists have reassured me, created exactly how we want to present ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think that's another kind of, that's nearly like...
Well, you can only do that through piece. Performing.
Yeah, through performing.
And hopefully, like, I'm not saying hopefully, but losing some of the Sheila Sheik fans along the way.
And I think it's
like with Tom Jones, he doesn't want the people, the women who are shouting for him to throw their knickers at him.
Yeah.
That's what you'll have to lose along the way, you know, the kind of people who see the wrong person.
That's true, isn't it? And we probably need to go into rehearsals, you know, and treated like a theatre piece, you know. I'd like it to be quite theatrical on a different level to Sheila. But I feel like we're knocking Sheila here because you've done enough of that now, Barry, in your time.
Oh, shut up. Glad.
I'm there.
But, I thought it was Sheila E.
Sheila
from
E.
The Prince's Band.
But,
the wrong one.
Yeah, but like I would never be able to make this album if I hadn't have
you needed
first.
Her as well.
It's a little bit like Madonna would never have been the star if she didn't do like a virgin.
Sheila's face down the plug hole with the bathwater.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though some people would like to.
Yeah, I know, but it's you see, with comedy, with the music, I don't have the same like and hate. With the music, it's just, it's either there or it's not. But I'm a female comedian, and comedians in general upset the status quo. And when it's a female who upsets the status quo, it's kind of painful for some people, and a lot of men find it painful.
Why?
And I don't know, because I really don't know. I'd love to sit down and ask some of them, but I don't really. I kind of ignore it if I see...
You mean you feel that it's kind of misogyny?
To a certain extent, yeah. To a certain extent.
Like if Russell Brand did it, it'd be just, yeah. He's gonna be amazing hilarious. How far he can
and
go.
And he does do it, how far. And Celebrity Juice goes further than I'll ever go. And Borat has gone further than I'll ever go. But, like, he's, you know, his sister. You know, he's having sex with his sister, Borat. You know, it's, you know, he really goes the distance. But females can't really go quite the distance. In our own hearts sometimes, and in other...
Because it was only 20 years ago that you couldn't even get a pint in a pub in Ireland.
I know.
If you're a female.
Can you imagine if I was...
Because I remember being in a pub with this girl in a band, and she asked for a pint of Guinness, and they said, look, we can only serve you a glass. It was like probably being black in Alabama in the 60s, you know?
Yeah, we can only... You're a woman, we can only serve you a glass.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'd love a pint of Guinness now. But...
So you're happy with the album, you're happy how it's gone.
I'm happy actually when I mentioned something like the Magdalen Laundries, how far women have come.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be making so many jokes if anyone takes it out of context.
It's not a joke, and it's 100%, it's 100% celebratory time for women and for what those women have done for
us. Is it Women's Day this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just gone.
It's just gone, yeah. And the album is Sean Payne, and which is a good thing.
Women, and it's a celebration of women as well.
Yeah, and it is a celebration of women. And most of my audience and most of my fans are women, and they come up and they say, oh, you say exactly what I'd love to say every so often. You know, and traveller women have come up to me. Some of them love me, some of them don't love me, same as any other part of life, you know. And we still have so much to go in this country. Like what happened in Donegal there, last week with the house being burnt down, the travellers, it's disgusting. Like 10 children, what sort of opinion are they going to have of settled people? You know, it's about time we started recognising what opinion do they have of us, you know, rather than what opinion we have of them. It's really, really fragile times for still a lot of people in this country, and we do F all about it except talk about it, myself included today. So
yeah.
This is Radio Nova. 100.